It's so good to see you. If you are new, I'm Pastor Bert, and whether you're here or you're tuning in online, I welcome you to our church family. For the past few weeks, we've been discovering that God wants to talk to us and does, in fact, talk to us because he wants a relationship with us. He created people to love and care for them. We've discovered that God speaks primarily in four ways. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through godly friends and teachers. He speaks through impressions of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks through our life's experiences. There are literally hundreds of stories of God speaking directly to people in the Bible, and there are countless more that we can find throughout history. You know, when I think about this, though, I wonder why we don't hear many stories about God speaking to people today. Has he stopped? What's the problem? Well, the fact is that God still does speak to people, right? We've looked at that already. Over the last few messages, we've been learning how to hear God's voice. Today, I want us to look at how to actually prepare ourselves so we can hear and receive guidance from God. I found five ways that work for me anyways to tune into God, but to hear him speak to you when you need answers or guidance. Five simple things that we need to pay attention to. You could be praying about what to do in a relationship, maybe a job situation. Should I change my job, or should I apply for this other job, or what should I do, or how to deal with my children in whatever circumstance you're facing. God wants to help you with those issues. You've got to be tuned into him. Today we're going to look at one of God's ancient preachers did. Five things he did to tune into God. Now, he had a name that's not too familiar today. Yeah, probably your next-door neighbor does not have this name. Habakkuk. If you do, I apologize to him. Habakkuk, I want you to listen to what he wrote. He said, "I will climb my watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will tell me to say and what answer he will give to my complaint. The Lord gave me his answer, this answer. Write down clearly on tablets what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance." So this is a fairly short text. None of this will find five steps, actually, to receiving a message from the Lord. And as you can see on your outline, they conveniently all start with the same letter, W. Withdraw, wait, watch, write, worship. It's a gift I have. Yeah. The first thing it can be that's so important that we need to do is withdraw alone. It's not that God can't speak to you outside of that, but sometimes we need those times to prepare ourselves to be able to hear his voice. So we need to withdraw alone. First thing, remember, Habakkuk says, "I will climb my watchtower," he says. What's that mean? Well, it's actually a Hebrew expression. It's a metaphor that means I'm going to get off by myself, go away alone to eliminate external distractions so I can hear God speak. The very first thing, if you're going to hear God speak to you, is you need to withdraw from those things that will distract you. That means finding a quiet place where you can be alone with God. We've talked about that before. Because in today's world, that can be a difficult thing in itself, isn't it? Just trying to find a place where you can get away and where it's quiet. Especially those of you who are mothers of preschoolers. I wonder, have you ever heard about the godly mother named Susanna Wesley? She was the mother of, wait for it, 18 children. You think you've got it rough. Two of her sons, Charles and John, shaped the spiritual climate of England in their day. Charles Wesley wrote several hundred songs and hymns, which churches still sing today. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist denomination. Both men had profound effect on the church and their world. But with 18 kids, how on earth did Susanna Wesley ever find a quiet place to pray? This was her solution. Every afternoon, she would sit in her living room and throw her apron over her head. The children knew that when Mama was in her rocking chair with her apron over the head, you don't mess with her. She's meeting with God. Folks, where there's a will, there's a way, right? Find a place where you can be quiet and get alone with God and listen to his voice. One of the reasons why you don't hear God speak to you more is because of all the noise around us. We're so distracted always by noise. The radio's on, TV's on, computer's on, the phone is on. People today are constantly bombarding themselves with noise. Have you noticed that? I see people walking or running around in this beautiful quiet park with earbuds in, listening to the latest podcast. When they're trying to fall asleep, they don't quiet themselves, they play ASMR videos. Listen, you'll never hear that still small voice of God if you always have to have noise screaming for your attention. The early church historian Luke recorded that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus led a very active life, folks. Yet in spite of that, he often, it says, withdrew alone. He made it a habit, right? And if Jesus needed to do that, this guy certainly does. We need to get away from the distractions. We need to unplug. Leave your phone in another room, because the devil will make sure that someone calls you or texts you if you're trying to pray. Some of you are calling, you're going, oh, I didn't know he was making me do that. Anyways, we'll move on from that one. You know, a lot of people find this difficult because we often, especially in the Western world, I think, equate prayer with inactivity. And we equate inactivity with laziness, right? Close friend of mine, when he first started pastoring, once got reamed out by a board member who caught him praying at his desk. He said, "You can pray on your own time. We don't pay you to pray." I will not tell you how much problems that church has had over the years. Folks, sometimes the most profound thing that you can do is to get away from all the busyness and just spend time alone with God. But I can tell you from experience that just getting physically away from it all is not enough. After you're able to get away and find that quiet spot, then you need to quiet yourself. Your own mind and your own emotions, quiet them down. And that leads us to our second step. Number two, it says, wait a while. Wait a while. Second thing Habakkuk says is, I will wait, right? Now, the Hebrew word translated here as wait means to stand still, to stop moving or doing, to cease. It means to not be in a hurry. I'm going to purposely stay here for a while and patiently wait until something happens. God speaks to the person who takes the time to listen. One reason why many of us don't hear God is we're just too busy for him. God, I've got 30 seconds. You can talk to me starting now, right? Hurry is the death of prayer. It's also the death of relationship. If you don't take time to communicate in a relationship, it's not going to last. You need to spend time together to really get to know someone. We know that, right? Prayer is what we call our communication with God. We spend time with him, talking to him, listening to him. I love what God said in Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Stop rushing. Wait for a while. Spend some time alone with me. And if you do, you will get to know me in a deeper, more intimate way. Remember, God created you to have a relationship with you. So he loves it when you spend time with him. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you want to get to know him better too, right? Right? So you try to set aside some time. You find a quiet place that's just perfect, and you settle yourself down. And what happens then? Your mind starts to remind you of everything you need to do. It's the same thing that happens when you lay your head on the pillow. Why is that? Because you've been going all day long, and once you finally stop and relax, your mind is finally able to catch up. Say, do you remember that thing that we were supposed to do today or that you're going to forget about tomorrow, right? And it remembers all the stuff that you were too busy to remember through the day. So what should you do? Well, I've discovered, for me, if I try to ignore those thoughts, they just scream louder and louder and louder. So I've come up with, for me, is a real practical solution. When I go to pray, I take a notepad with me. Notepad. And when something pops into my head when I'm praying, I'm like, I'm never going to remember that, and I'll just write it down. Right? Just jot down a quick note about what that is. And I love, Albert Einstein said, I don't remember anything I've written down. If I can write it down, I don't need to remember it. And it's like, it's something that happens. You write it down, it's like, I can focus on God again. Just write it down, you go back and you pray some more. And if something else pops up, you stop again, write it down. I may end up with anywhere from 5 to 25 different things, but it helps to calm my mind, reassure my mind that these things are taken care of, you can focus on God. The goal of prayer is to tune in to God, to hear his voice so you can talk with him. And he can talk to you. Withdraw alone. Wait a while. And then number three is watch attentively. Watch attentively. Have you noticed that each of these first three steps actually take some intentionality? Some stuff that we have to do? They're an act of your will. When he says, I will, it shows me that we have a part to play. If we really want to hear from God, look at it again. Habakkuk says, I will look to see what he says to me. Does anything seem a little odd with that statement to you? It does to me. It seems to me that it would make a whole lot more sense for it to say, I will hear and listen to what he says to me. What's he say? I will look and see what he says to me. Typically, we listen to what people say, right? You don't look at what people say. So what's he mean by this? Well, I think it could mean a couple things. The first thing I found is that God often speaks to me through something visual, like a dream or a vision, right? The difference is really just whether you're awake or asleep. If God drops an image in your thoughts and you're awake, it's called a vision. If you're asleep, it's called a dream. Pretty profound, isn't it? There are hundreds, literally hundreds of examples of this in the Bible. There are people where people were praying and God gave them this mental image, this picture of something in their mind. When you read about some of the oldest followers of God, this appears to be the most common way that God spoke to them, by giving them a mental picture, a vision. I think that's the reason why Jesus often said, watch and pray. There's a visual element to prayer. Early church leader Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The eyes of your heart. Now, I know Paul wasn't a doctor, so maybe he got a little confused, right? What's he mean by this? Eyes are supposed to be in my head, right? Well, he's not talking about physical eyes. I know you already figured that out. He's talking about spiritual eyes, right? Spiritual understanding. It's like when you were born physically, you got physical senses, right? Hearing, taste, touch, smell, feel. Almost forgot that one. Similarly, when you gave your life to Jesus, you were reborn spiritually, right? Awakening your spiritual senses, your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, etc. His closest friend and follower, John, recorded Jesus saying this, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Until you believe in Jesus and give him your life, you are spiritually deaf and blind. But once you accept his new life, God's spirit comes into you, giving your spirit new life. There's an unseen part of reality that we can't see with our physical eyes, folks. It can only be seen through spiritual eyes. But it's just as real. Second thing about being able to see what God is saying is that he speaks to us through his word, the Bible. I've mentioned this several times over the past few weeks. But because it's the number one way that God chooses to speak to us, it keeps coming up, right? I encourage you to go back and watch those videos on YouTube, those lessons, so you can understand this better if you're just here for the first time. The thing is, God often speaks to something specific that we're going through in our lives or that he needs to deal with in our lives as we read the Bible. It happens over and over again. That's why it's so important to read it every day. You may come across something that grabs your attention. It's like it jumps right off the page at you. What you need to do is simply ask, Holy Spirit, is there something you want to show me in this? Why is this drawing my attention right now? Is there something I need to change? Is there something you want me to know? When you do that, God will speak to you through his word and show you what it is that you need to know. And when that happens, you need to take that same notepad that I mentioned earlier, and you need to write accurately. Take notes. Write down what the Lord says to you. Notice what Habakkuk did in our text. He said, the Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly what I revealed to you. Write it down. Have you ever wondered how we ended up with the Bible in the first place? Real people wrote down real experiences of what God did and said in their lives. And through the years, those records have been compiled and put together. Habakkuk wrote one of those records. If you go back and read in chapter 1, you'll see, chapter 1 is him just writing down all of his prayer. All the things, questions, the complaints he had that he wanted God to answer. And in chapter 2, he writes down God's answers to him. In his letter to the church in Rome, Paul explains that whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. When you write down the things you need to pray about, and then you write down God's answers to those prayers, it builds your faith. And it gives you hope that God will answer the next prayers that you write down. My mom is so good at this. Every week I call her and she asks me about stuff. Stuff that I'm amazed she even remembers that we talked about in the past. It's because she's written them down and she's praying about those things. And she's wanting to know if she needs to keep praying for them or if she can write down how God answered that prayer. I confess I could do way better at doing that in my own prayer life. I'm still pretty hit and miss when it comes to writing those things down. But we learn from Habakkuk how important it is to be disciplined in writing down our prayers and writing God's answers. Because he does answer. And when he does, when that happens, Habakkuk says we need to worship appreciatively. Think about it. How awesome is it that the God who created the heavens and the earth, Yahweh, cares about you so intimately that he took time to speak to little old you? Even about something as minuscule as showing you where you left your keys. Seriously, I can't tell you how many times someone in our house has frantically been looking for her keys, and we stop and, oops, looking for their keys, and we stop and ask God, where are they? We can't find them, and suddenly one of us will get this image of where they saw them last. Over and over again. Please don't tell her I said that. It was a slip up of the tongue. Yes, it's amazing. But when those things happen, I can totally relate to King David when he wrote, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care where their keys are." When we pray and God answers, our response is to worship him. Look at what Habakkuk said again. "Oh Lord, now I've heard your report and I worship you." When you receive God's loving response, you've asked a question, you've heard an answer in your mind, you write it down, it's going to make you grateful and love the Lord more and move you to worship and spend more time with him. Ask more things. Listen more for what he wants to tell you, right? This turns prayer from a wish list into a relationship. Remember, you can't have a relationship without communication. If you never take time to communicate and build the relationship, it'll go nowhere. Or if you always have to do the talking, you won't have a relationship for very long. Good communication. Back and forth, back and forth. That's why God wants you to talk to him, so he can talk to you and your relationship together can grow. This is the difference, I believe, between knowing about God and knowing him, really knowing him. And there are really three levels of relationship you can have, right? You can believe in God. You can believe he exists. Does that mean you have a relationship with him? No. I believe Connor McDavid exists. I've watched him, seen him on TV. We don't have a relationship, right? So just knowing about God does not mean you have a relationship with him. Or you can be acquainted with God. That's a little bit better, right? I'm acquainted with my doctor. That doesn't mean I have a relationship with him. Thirdly, you can be a friend of God. That's the kind of relationship God wants with you. Jesus said, "You are my friends. You do what I tell you." He says, "You're my friends." When we communicate with each other, when you pray and you listen to what I say, that's a friendship. God wants you to be his friend. But when people turned away from God, that relationship was broken. That's why Jesus came, to restore our relationship with him, so that we could be his friends. How do you do that? By paying the penalty for your rebellion against God. And he died for you. We all deserve to die. But when you give Jesus your life, he in exchange gives you his life. And because he rose from dead, he has the power to raise you too. If you've heard God's voice calling you to himself this morning, then why don't you respond to him today? I'll help you. If this is your desire, then as we all bow our heads together, as I wrap up this talk, you can just pray along silently with me right now, and God will hear you, he will answer you, and he'll receive you as his friend. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know the direction you want me to go. I've been going my own way, and I'm sorry for that. Please forgive me of my rebellion against you, of ignoring you and doing things that I know you don't like. Please help me to live for you from now on. I want to have a relationship with you. And so, Jesus, I ask you, please save me. I don't understand it all, but I ask you to be the Lord of my life as best as I know how. I want to grow in a relationship with you. Well, thank you. Thank you that you want that too. Thank you for hearing me and answering me. Now I worship you for saving me today and forever. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, if we're just going to finish off with one more song. If you gave your life to Jesus today, you prayed that prayer for the first time. Can you please let me know after the service? I'd love to just connect with you and get to know you a little bit better as well. Or if you'd like to fill in a connect card, if you've maybe got a run just with your contact information, we'll get a hold of you. We've got some resources I'd love to share with you. And so you can start this new life with Jesus.